Hello, everyone. So glad to have you joining us today. Some great news. Next Sunday, June 14th, at 9:30 a.m. up at the Bird Park picnic ground area, we are going to be gathering together outside for some church services again. And it's going to be so exciting. We've been longing to get back together with you in person. And so we are going to be offering some outside services here in the month of June, as it's the safest way right now to offer some gathering places together. And so we'll be getting information out to you in email blasts and also on our website. So make sure that you check that out. There will be obviously the protocols in place of social distancing and face mask requirements as we're in close proximity to others. But there'll be plenty of space there to spread out. Of course, there's not a lot of shade, but you guys can bring your own chairs and shade covers as you see fit to be comfortable in that setting. We will have some bench seating up there and a few chairs if you don't have that for coming and enjoying us in that. But again, we're just so excited to be able to just come together and worship together in the same setting, and to learn together in His Word. And so again, next Sunday, June 14th, 9:30 a.m., Bird Park Picnic Grounds. Now, for those of you that are at higher risk, we understand that at this time you'll be choosing to stay at home. And we respect you and honor you for that decision. And we will continue to encourage people to stay safe in this time and transition of reopening. We will be continuing to offer our online services and online study groups through this transition period of reopening as well. And so we're in no hurry to stop those forums. That's also having a powerful ministry to those in this community, including yourselves that are listening in today. And lastly, I just would love to share our thanks for those that have been just faithfully giving in this time. I know how difficult it's been for many, but as the Lord has been providing for us, it's so neat to have your partnership in that process of ministry and meeting the needs in our community and in this church. So thank you for faithfully giving of your tithes and offerings. And again, that can happen online on our website and or by mailing in that support through our P.O. Box at P.O. Box 98. Well, with all of that, let's worship. Let's turn our heart and our attention upon Him. Let's give Him thanks today.
Right. I was dead so you sang me back to life. And I was lost till you called me out by name. I was down till you picked me up again. I was wrong till you loved and made me right. I was dead till you sang me back to life. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy.
And so now let's prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper together. You know, think upon that time, that night, when Jesus, in that upper room, he was sitting there with those close to him, those whom he loved, and he grabbed the basic elements of bread and wine that were before them, and he explained and prepared them for what was to come, his amazing sacrifice of his life, and the atonement for our sins, of which now we look back upon and remember what that represented. And so we want to do that now, and we want to partake together. And so let's take a moment, and you may want to hit pause at this point in the service and just go grab something that can represent that bread, some crackers, maybe some bread you can break, and then grab some juice or some wine that you can either dip the bread and partake, or you can take a drink of. But go and grab those elements now, and then come back and hit play, and we'll continue on from there. So as we come back together here, I first just want to comment to those that maybe you're alone listening to this. And I remind you that you are very much not alone, that the Lord is very present with you right where you sit. And I would even remind you that when we partake of this together, we are partaking with the family of God across this whole world, that on a morning like this or an evening like this together, that they are partaking like we are in remembrance. And so think upon the question of how has Jesus set you free? And thank him for the ways that he has shown up, maybe even in this week, and has been walking with you in a very present way, bringing encouragement, bringing a freedom, bringing a life, because again of this work of what we hold it, that we represent in our hands here of the broken body and the shed blood for you. And let it be a time of celebration as you just again thank him for that incredible sacrifice and how present he is in your life. And if you're a family unit, I just pray you could take a unique time here together. Again, you could even hit pause for a moment and maybe go around in your family and just maybe share a thanks or an acknowledgement of how Jesus has shown up for you this week, a way that he has stepped in and has redeemed you, has forgiven you, has pulled you up and out of the things that so often tie us down and burden our lives. Sin has a way of doing that. It locks our hearts up. And I think a fun time as a family could be to just, how has God, through his son Jesus, freed you? And let's just give thanks for this. Let's acknowledge the ways that he has freed us. And then through some prayer together, re-enter into this time of worship, where we'll partake again of that body which was broken for you, the blood that was shed for you, and then just take and eat together. And then as we worship, let this be a sweet time with your family or you as an individual to meet with the Lord, celebrate the newness of life and the wholeness of life that comes through what Jesus has done, through his death, and not only his death, but again, his resurrection, by which we are set free and made one with our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus, again, as we enter into this time of worship, we do thank you. We acknowledge all that you have done and your sacrifice and your love that is so on display because of the choice where you laid down your life for us. We take up these elements, and we take up the life and the forgiveness that comes with it. And we agree with you, Lord, that you make us new, and that we can enter in now into a life of the Spirit by which we are free. We celebrate that now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, Son of heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ our King. Oh, praise the of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the
morning, everybody. Thank you for participating online. Due to COVID-19 pandemic conditions still going on in the world, and during the riots and demonstrations following the death of George Floyd in Minnesota, this is Pastor Andrew. I want to get right to the point today. I'm calling this "What is Happening?" with a big question mark there. Scripture tells us in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, a priestly blessing here. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them," verse 24, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Today I want to speak to the emotions and the feelings and the facts of things happening right now, not just here in Southern California or even on this beautiful island, but all across our nation. And I want to speak to this topic of injustice. I've been traveling and have driven a car back through, the LA area and into Long Beach, and having to witness some things and to see other things coming back into town. I have gone through a whirlwind of emotions, as you have as well, watching things unfold in our nation. It is a just demand by every American, regardless of color or class, that they be treated equally under the law. And it is the right of every American to peacefully demand change when one set of rules applies to one group of people, while another harsher set is brought to bear on a regular basis against another. The outrage and anger expressed across the nation in reaction to the murder of George Floyd is understandable, as it was preventable. It's just as understandable as it was preventable. In this particular issue, I believe silence equals agreement. I really do. Quiet prayers are nice. However, public declarations stating this is wrong are even better. It's all about the vision right now and not the strategy. Carve the vision in stone and draft the strategy in pencil. The vision is constant, but the strategy is always evolving. How do we fix this? What is happening in me personally and in you personally dealing with the facts that we know now and have watched over and over again on social media and on television? People talk about meaningful change and little happens. People demand significant change, right? Moving up to something more significant and still little happens. They shout for change, still nothing happens. You know, our response to the voices screaming for decades, quote, "I can't breathe," right? We heard those words from Mr. Floyd's mouth, and literally and figuratively has been to largely ignore the problem. This cannot go on. I am so burdened by this topic, and I want to make sure we have a biblical take on this morning. You can never stop the pot from boiling over if you don't take it off the fire. This cannot go on. We all know that violence is not the way, okay? But given what we've seen, given the systematic inequalities that have been allowed to fester for too long, neither is inaction. That's not the way to just sit around doing nothing. It will take action at all levels, okay? All levels, the city, state, federal. But this moment calls for comprehensive action and change. We must think through carefully what we're going to do with this at this time, at this hour. We are better than this. We cannot sweep this one under the rug once again. And what I think is most critical for people to understand in this moment is the concept of diversity and inclusion. Being a person of color in America is a different experience every single day. Folks are dealing with bigotry and racism in their own neighborhoods. Right here, even in my own neighborhood where I live in Avalon, we have a problem that has been hardened by the current system, where if I look or dress the wrong way, folks will not know what I'm about, where my skin color or someone else's skin color is weaponized before you even know content of their character. And this is a problem. I want to welcome everybody into this discussion this morning. I want to welcome you listening online from all over the world, probably. Our messages have gone, I've heard from people from everywhere. And we want to come today to praise Jesus. His promises never fail. He never changes so much is needed to change and is changing right in our lives right now in America and the way that we live, constantly changing. Jesus never changes. Let's open in prayer this morning. Thank you for the blessings of you, God. And thank you for allowing us to see another day. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to bow before you, to place all our fears and anxieties and the sadness into your hands. Lord, it's been a heavy week and it's been a heavy year so far. And it seems like things keep getting darker and we keep losing the light that we guide by. Sometimes we can even lose our hope. We don't want to admit that, but we do this morning. I do. For today, we ask that you shine the light as to who you are. Help us understand all those things we don't understand. Bless all those that encounter you today. Man, may we feel it. Speak to us so that we hear you. Oh, great God, you meet every need. Keeper of every secret. You see our tears and uphold your people today. You're a keeper and a sustainer and a friend. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. In Scripture, Jesus spoke to the people that others would not stand for. As our nation is reeling from the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at the hands of a law enforcement officer and others involved, now is the time for us to have a conversation about racism in America. This has to do it. And a way to move forward also. And sometimes the best way to take a stand is to take a seat. Jesus was able to stand for people and address the heart of a matter, because he sat down with people to understand situations. Guaranteed, we all probably have seen the gruesome video of law enforcement holding down George Floyd. And after viewing this video, I've been crying and praying and asking for God what to do. Even my daughter felt pretty hopeless in response to the video shown over and over again on social media. It was nuts. How much it was just in our face. And there's a reason we feel this way. It is a reminder of where we are at. Where we are at. It's horrifying. Events necessitated the need for me to speak into the pain and injustice this morning. And we need to speak into what God says about it. In reflection, I literally had no idea what to say or do. I had to really listen to some trusted sources and bring into Scripture what my conflict was inside. Many pastors that I look up to have reserved their comments, until they get all of the facts. But regardless, if you are in possession of all the facts, it takes courage to state, this is wrong. This is wrong. One of my favorite rap artists that's out there that really helped me with where I should sit and where I'm fighting inside with what's happening, Lecrae, one of my favorite Christian rap artists, great guy, and has made clear where a believer should be sitting. And today, my friends, is a great weekend to be reminded of the promises of the Lord over us. Many of us are losing sight, hope, even language based on what's going on all around us and what is happening in our country and our world. It is best that we put our kingdom in heavenly perspective and be reminded of what we live by and how the Word of God guides us. He will be with us through everything, and he will neither abandon us nor forsake us. Scripture says we've never seen the righteous forsaken, and we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that. Our confidence is not in earthen vessels and people. Our confidence is in God and in the Word of God. And we want to be reminded, especially now, of these promises. One thing I'd like to add here in some of these opening remarks is it was remarkable to see that after the violence by opportunists and caring residents, to see hundreds of Long Beach folks come out to help begin cleaning up their city. That was a really cool YouTube that I got to see. Some of the heavily damaged areas over where a lot of us park our vehicles that live here in Catalina, heavily damaged, looted facilities, had wonderful members of the communities all across the nation even doing this. They did this out of love for their community. Came out the very next day to pick up the damaged stuff and to clean it up. But cleaning the streets, rebuilding the facades, and restocking the shelves are not the significant challenge we face, right? Inequality, injustice, systematic racism, these are the real problems here. And unless we begin to address these problems directly as a society, we're only going to find ourselves in the same tragic position over and over again. I know you're tired of it. I know I'm tired of it. And this isn't all about race. It's about justice. And the Bible, the entire Bible, is all about justice. Both the Old Testament and New Testament are clear. God is even clear with Israel. Treat the alien and the stranger among you. This is how you treat them, right? And to love. If I was caught on video doing this, everyone would want me to go to jail and I would never preach again. And this is a problem. It is a heart problem. It is an empathy problem. It is systematic. We stand for justice. We stand for what is right. It would be hypocrisy for me as a pastor to just sit here and celebrate, you know, the diversity in this island community and never address the disparity. It would be lethal to our ability to preach and teach God's word. This is a moment of time in ministry where it is different. That's why I'm speaking on it this morning. What we're talking about today is the very heart and soul of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is. It's at the very heart and soul of it. This is not an issue that we can just relegate to root systems. As diverse as this island community is, I need to speak to the injustice and the pain. Otherwise, I'm not ministering. I'm just merely rearranging things in order to be pleasing or to make something fit. I was raised by parents, and specifically my mother, really took time to help me see the substance of someone and something. And my mom taught me how to see people through a lens of grace. So I extend the grace that I want people to extend to me. So I grew up honoring all cultures. Even though I did not understand them, I grew up honoring them and respecting them. And I continue to want to step into other people's reality and feel what it's like, you know, to be them. The challenge is for me that I do not always see this coming the other way. Because if there was always empathy, you know, there never would be this lack of humanity. We can't solve this at a legislative level. It would be nice, okay? To change someone's heart, this is why it has to happen in the church, my friends. Because only the Holy Spirit can change the heart and change their mind and change their perspective and change their perception and yours and give people value. that every single human being that God ever created has the same inherent value because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. I have the same right to pursue my dream as you. I don't want a special treatment for Andrew. I want equal treatment. It's not your fault. It's the system that has been here since, you know, 1619. The Bible says in Psalm 139, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar." Verse 3, "You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, know it completely." Verse 23 of Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Despite all of the reforms and all the attempts, we have yet to see equality. The truth is that we are only three generations away from humans owning humans in this nation. And we need to talk about it. Not politically, but from the church. We got to reconcile the sins of silence, the sins of apathy, sins of indifference. It's not right, and it's not okay. And as a pastor of a church, I can't just profess the cliches of Christianity and equality. As a leader of this church here in Avalon, it's not political, my friends, it's personal. And everyone I've spoken to is equally disgusted and appalled at what happened to George Floyd. Should it take that for us to hear the cries of our brothers and sisters? For me, the situation we are in is symbolic of the condition we allow. And yet we will give more attention to the symptoms versus the sickness that's beneath the symptoms. It should not take the image of a man's life been taken away to understand the lack of human empathy. All of us who understand the religious construct from the different versions of Jesus, depending on what part of the country we live in. In the South, some folks are real loud about their Jesus, but real quiet about this. The truth is that Jesus is not a Democrat or a Republican. He's a monarchist. And we need to deal with Jesus as he is. These abuses by law enforcement authorities shock us from our position of apathy. Should it take that? No. But it has. When our consciousness is pierced, this gives us a window. My issue is that we have reduced Jesus and Christianity on only the comfortable things. And shocking events like this put us in a state of despair. And despair is just as deadly as denial. We got to be careful as to live in denial and accept and tolerate it because we lack the tools to fix it at a regional or even global level and give up on the possibility to change it. And we have replace the art of conversation with just likes and clicks and posts and short comments in social media. The art of conversation, something so relationally needed. And so we don't talk, and therefore we don't empathize, and we don't take the time to understand people that come from different perspectives, and we just surround ourselves with people that merely confirm our biases. And we never challenge ourselves to seek something beyond our own perspective. And that keeps us in a state of spiritual immaturity, or even a regressive state of it, because we've never stressed ourselves to better understand other people's experiences. The Bible says in Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We must allow ourselves to have a genuine human moment with others. You've got to do it. It's too easy to grab your phone and hit a text, an email, a message, whatever. But a genuine human moment. Psalms 137 speaks into this, and the writer asks the question how we can sing in such a strange land. God allows the human emotion to be expressed without judgment. We tend to not want to know the truth. However, we do want to feel good. And each individual should be dealt with based on their own character and what they're doing. God created color and culture because he wanted diversity. John chapter 17, verse 20 says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Verse 21, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. This means that diversity was the seed as to our willingness to lay down culture and pick up the kingdom. And this is why I'm talking about it today, my friends. Please don't look at this from or approach this from a judgmental perspective. Please don't do that. Nor should we consider that change is unworthy because of the pain of the moment. Anger should not be tempered to cater to someone else's discomfort. Some of us are enraged and scared. I have felt this way this week. It's enough to think about a pandemic that's killing folks, including African Americans, at a disproportionate rate, as well as the virus of racism that has been going on for even longer. The pressure of both is a lot. It's a ton. And we should be able to have a conversation with each other without shredding each other's humanity. We got to probe into what a person is all about, the substance of a person, and not dwell in the image of a person. And if people are in pain, the first thing they see is what they remember the most. And we're at a very sensitive place right now. And our intentions might be pure. However, people are still processing the pain. And one of the biggest problems is that we're dealing with virtually like two versions of Jesus. We've packaged Jesus and programmed him to say, you know, the five things that we want him to say, sort of like a doll with a cord that we pull in the back, you know, like a Chatty Cathy doll where you just pull it and this is what you're supposed to say and ignore the underlying tension that's real and that's there. Some of the things that Jesus said were so controversial that it got him killed. Because Jesus threatened the power structure. Because of the hope that he was projecting onto the marginalized. That was so threatening for those that were in power. They couldn't handle it. We cannot limit our God to our own individual experiences. We should not bring our God down to the level of our own individual preferences. I think exposure to diverse thinking and cultures is critical. And if I simplify the situation to what's projected on CNN or Fox News, I would not be able to empathize with people and understand their humanity. I need to know what my community has. What's the pulse of the community and the people that live around me? We got to start reading. We got to start learning and exposing ourselves to some things. Jesus tells us to be the light of the world. I can also take this to mean that we are not to be ignorant. It means we have to shine light on ignorance. We have to have revelation of those things we don't understand. Where we say with intellectual honesty, just because I did not experience it does not mean it does not exist. Just being honest with ourselves and our community. There are conversations related to diversity in the U.S. And as a church, we've run the other way from these. For the most part, we really have. There's also a need to have these conversations in our respective homes. Guilt is not a strategy. Maybe we don't know the difference between guilt and repentance. Making someone feel bad doesn't change anything. Repentance means to change direction in the Old Testament, and repentance means to change your mind in the New Testament. We change directions, and we do things differently. And we need to do things differently now. The only way to break the cycle is to repent. Sitting here singing like a bridge over troubled waters, you know, is not going to solve anything. This is nothing more than an aesthetic. However, repentance is real change. Where we ask ourselves, how can we change our minds so that we see things the way God sees things? Allowing my heart to see beyond the corners of my own darkness, where I no longer co-sign intolerance by the nature of my silence, sitting on my butt without a take. This is repentance. This is repentance. And repentance is moving differently, thinking differently, getting up and walking in a different direction, refusing to assume a posture of indifference. The same old, same old, same old generic, you know, decade after decade of family, generation, and racial discrimination in families, breaking those things. When you talk about changing direction, questions we need to be asking in this moment are, what is my heart? What's in it? How did it get there? And start with that. If you say, I'm cool with everybody, what exactly does that mean? Are you cool with having your white daughter marry a black man? How about your aunts and uncles? How about your grandparents? This conversation needs to be done at home, not just in the church. How many disparaging, stinking words are used in a home when talking about both white and black or brown or red or any other color? How many disparaging words are used? We can't absolve any community of responsibility. In order to have genuine healing, it means we have to deal with the pain and the anguish on one side, as well as the indifference and apathy on the other. There is responsibility. I don't get to use my pain as a pulpit to get angry at every person of color when there are areas of collective responsibility I need to take on my own. And if we're really going to change our minds, my friends, if we are genuinely going to go there, we have to be honest about what is in there in the first place. How did it get there? And how can we affect that? We must model this so that God can change one heart and mind at a time. And it needs to happen at the kitchen table. Not just any conversation, but a type of conversation that permeates our lives and honors Christ. Christ is Savior. That's what we call Him. Let's bring honor to that saving grace. And there has to be more than just words. What's in your heart that you want to see other people do today? Do not just think. Do not just post something. I want us to foster true reconciliation. As it states in John 17, we need to have a presence of God in our conversation. This is found in John chapter 17. It's so beautiful. The presence of God in our minds and our hearts. Otherwise, empathy and activism aren't going to matter. I want this to be the start of dialogue that we need to have with each other, and then real world application in real time, where we all call out regional and even national systemic injustice, and everybody mobilizes and moves in the same direction. Many folks right now, this blows my mind, are clueless as to what's even going on. I knew something was happening, even though we were traveling and on the road during some of the heat of what was going on. I had an awareness that something was changing. And one big question I have is, how exactly do we meet on this bridge to begin talking genuinely and openly about things? How do we start it? How do we meet up to get serious about openness? What about unity? Unity is not uniformity. We're not going to agree on everything. We can still leave our safe zones and come out onto the bridge, though, and have the initial uncomfortable conversation, and then eventually start working on the big time issues, okay, like credit worthiness and the ability to get small business loans. Some of this is systemic. Some of it is monetary, and all of it is spiritual, all of it, okay? But then we can mobilize from there. Where we are all moving the same direction and have a heart for diversity. Okay? Not just this soft kumbaya, my Lord, stuff, because that doesn't work. Compassion that Jesus spoke about is this. I want to feel your pain, and you should feel mine. Jesus always empathizes with the lost and demonstrated full compassion. And we need to have compassion for those that suffer from systemic racism and the racism that has existed in the church on both sides. We got to meet in the middle. I think that we become so numb that we do not feel anything anymore. Please pray for those of us to feel overwhelmed, my friends. Those of us that feel that we can't do anything, therefore we won't do anything. And also please pray for the people that are blind to this and allow God to open their eyes. As I close in prayer, I'm grateful for this moment and that it's begun. And I pray that the church will not avoid this conversation. I have always been the pastor working, it would seem, in certain diverse backyards, very diverse backyards, and for many years. I'm more than a preacher. I'm a man. And it's as equal to every other life in this nation and in this world. Yes, all lives matter. For those that did not get an opportunity for justice, their lives matter. Please have compassion and empathy in this moment for the pain from the people that never had anyone to advocate for them. May the church be a voice to the voiceless, and may you feel something. May you feel something, my friends. I ask the Holy Spirit to give you a heart of flesh. Have the heart of Jesus become active in you, that we will live in community and fight for the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace, to pursue peace with all men. Touch our hearts, God. Touch our hearts to a point of action. I pray that no more bodies have to lie on the ground. No more cities have to burn and businesses broken into. I pray that the pain is now so severe as to effectuate real change. And change starts in your heart, my friend, by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. God, allow us to have this initial conversation and reconcile this issue through the church. True heart change comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit, sounding most perfectly in the person of Jesus. May we pursue justice relentlessly. May we celebrate our differences while attacking at its root the system of oppression and the spirit of injustice. Lord, change our hearts so that we can see everyone is equally valuable. God, give us hope, give us peace, give us strength. Show us the pathway. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for listening today, but not just hearing, but really listening to this today. Let it sink in. May it change your heart. May it change your mind, and may your life be different as a result of listening in today. May things truly change. And also, we are moving into a new season of ministry up at Bird Park. Great announcement here. Next Sunday, June 14th, 9:30 a.m., we welcome you to Bird Park for an outdoor Avalon Community Church service. It'll be about 50 minutes long or so and a wonderful pep rally, welcoming back our togetherness. If you are able and are capable and feel okay with it, we invite you. Otherwise, we will still continue online ministry as well. This message will also be recorded for the next Sunday as well on the 14th, but also done live at 9:30 Bird Park in Avalon. Once again, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains.
Yeah, higher than the mountains,
higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
On and on.
On and on and on and on it goes. Satisfies my soul, and I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains, one thing remains,
your love
never fails.
proclaim it in death.
In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My death is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
Your love,
your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Say that again. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up.